Our Bible reading this morning comes from Matthew 28, the last chapter in the book of Matthew. And what a reading to finish a book in with. With, not in, with. Verses 16 to 20. And I think it's well known to most of us, but it's a great number of verses, a great commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, it is indeed good to open your word today to a passage that many of us have heard many, many times. And I pray, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us a truth that we need to hear today. We come expectantly to hear from you, Lord, by the power of your word and the power of your spirit. We ask that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to February 2018. This is normally a day in Kiwanis Life's short history that we run a bit of a launch Sunday where we get into the year. A lot of our ministries are up and going. Our youth ministry was back last Friday night. The children's ministry, KL Kids, is up and going today. Mainly music starts tomorrow. We had a meeting last week where we cleaned all the toys and everything, so we're all ready to go. RI has done some training this last week, and books are ordered, and they have their first day in schools, I believe, this coming week, definitely at Kiwanis anyway. So there's things that are happening, and an amazing group of people are being launched, as it were, into ministry, and things are starting to happen. But how do we get to here for us as a church, and where are we going this year is what I'd like to share with you today. In 2016, we did a sermon series called God's Plan, Our Plan. And it was a fun series, and we had a good time working our way through it. 2017, we did God's Mission, Our Mission, that God is on a mission and that we are to be on his mission. Same sort of theory, same sort of format. We kept going with that. This year, we're just branching off a little bit from God's mission. Obviously, with this passage, you're probably reading that we're going to be looking at the Great Commission, or the challenge for us to be disciples and to go and make disciples. And we're going to look into that for the whole year. What does that mean for you and for me, and how do we do it? I think that's a pretty significant sort of aspect of us as a church. I've been reading some old school books this last week. One was by a guy called Charles Finney. I'm going to refer to that one a little bit later. Another one by a guy called Charles Spurgeon. Charles seems to be a popular name. Charles Wesley had some good hymns. And then there's a guy called John Wesley. All these incredible men did incredible stuff around the gospel and the disciple-making process, and seeing disciples make disciples. So as a church, we've been sitting down and chatting through a few things, just a few leaders and a few people within the kids ministry at Kiwanis Life Kids, and we've come up with a strategy for this term. And I'm going to share that strategy with you. In Banana Jones has already told us that they'll be looking at the seven wonders of God. Anyone want to have a crack at what the seven wonders of God might be? Anyone? Yes, Vonnie. Oh, no, Vonnie. Sure. Cheating. Anyone else like to have... Anyone that's not in KL Kids that doesn't know the program would like to have a go at what one of the seven wonders of God might be? The resurrection, creator. Okay, yep. Grace, forgiveness, yep. Gee, we've got a lot to look into later in the year, haven't we? His awesomeness, yeah. Well, let me share with you what we're going to be doing, and how are we going to try and make this all happen, both upstairs and downstairs? They're going to be very strong parallel. They won't be exactly the same, but I do want to encourage all our families to be thoughtful about what the kids are learning upstairs as you're going home, or even during the week you might want to talk about some of the things that they've learnt, and hopefully you'll have learnt something similar down here, downstairs, upstairs, downstairs. Isn't that a movie, upstairs, downstairs?
TV series.
TV series, okay, cool. Was it a good one? I never watched it either. If it was good, we might run it a little bit, but if it's no good, we won't go there. Next week they're starting upstairs. They're doing a review like we are today, learning who In Banana Jones is, because I'm wondering if they knew who he was. So did they know who he was, Mark? Probably not. So parents, get out the series. No, don't watch the series. They're a bit old. No, don't go there. All right. Next week they will be looking at the wonder that God is their father. Isn't that a wonder? That God, our God, is your father. And we'll be looking at the father heart of God downstairs. Upstairs the next week, they'll be looking at Jesus Christ is your Saviour. And we'll be going, knowing Jesus as our Saviour. Next week, they'll be looking at the Holy Spirit is your helper. And we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit as our helper and the gifts of the Spirit working in and through us. The next week, they'll be looking at the Bible is true. And we'll be looking at God's word in our lives. The following week, they'll be looking at the church is the body of Christ, and we'll be looking at one body. Upstairs, next week, they'll be doing You Are in a Battle, and we're doing a series called Stand that day. Stand, taking on the armour of God. And then they will finish the series with Of the Future, and we'll be looking at what is eternity and the resurrection mean for you and for me. So it's a basic series, but it's the seven wonders of God. And very powerful message in and through it. After that, we'll be going into an Easter series, Good Friday. We'll be coming up on March the 30th, and we've entitled that, I Did It For You. And I actually, I love Easter. How many people love Easter? I realise that Woolworths is already selling hot cross buns about 3 months ago. But the Easter eggs are out last week, apparently, so Easter must be soon, and very soon. Easter this year is on the 1st of April. So I've entitled our series on that day, Be a Fool for God, or Don't Be a Fool. So we're going to have fun with that day, and I'm looking at some people to be a part of a drama, which we haven't written yet. So that. Oh, come on. It's February the 4th. Give me a break. So that's where we'll be heading up until then. And then in May, we often join in with May as Missions Month, so we'll probably be doing that in May. So the rest of the year we haven't come together. But I think this is a really good opportunity for us as a church, that Kiwanis Life can continue to look at belong, believe, become. That we can be known by love, we can be living by faith, and we can be that voice of hope in and through our community. On your newsletter today, you'll have seen that the church's vision was put there. How many people have seen that for the first time today? Oh, one. Cool. One person put up their hand. The rest of you, very good. We've had a number of people do their partnership information, so we've been pushing this out there and getting it into people's faces. So I just want to bring it into your realm today, because I think it's important every now and then for us as a church, especially on days like today, to stop and go, hold on, what are we about? What are the primary things that we want to do, and are we going to achieve it with some of the preaching that we're looking at doing? So the first point is that Kiwanis Life aims to become a dynamic church community through prayer empowered by the Holy Spirit, who are. Now, that first bit I think is really important. A dynamic church community through prayer empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's not about us in our own strength. It's about praying and seeking the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, to be about his work, not in my strength, thanks be to God, but in God's strength, working each and through every one of us. And the things that we have got point formed there is that we would be authentic. We want to be real. We want to be see-through. We want to be able to be transparent in our walk with God. So you will hear me give you the good, the bad, and the ugly about my walk, and less of Cynthia, because now that I've only got Cynthia at home, I can't pick on her all the time. So be warned, if you tell me stories during the week, you may end up in the service or in the sermon. So worry about that. But it'll be authentic, that's correct. I may change your name though, Robert. We want to be a friendly people whose ministry and lifestyle are a positive force within our community. We've got a number of things that are happening in and through us that is reality. Mainly music. The folks love coming because of the friendliness. Some of the new folk that have joined our church in the last 12 months that I've sat down with one-on-one and gone through partnership information stuff on have told me how well they've been received and how friendly you lot are. So, well done, but keep it up. Don't slack off. Oh, well, Donnie said we're good, we're friendly, the belong part's going good. But we need to keep doing that, and it needs to be real and it needs to be authentic because of the Spirit of God working in us. It doesn't need to be a mask that we put on when we walk into church, go, hallelujah, praise God, brother, good to have you with us, thanks very much. But it has to be real and authentic. And if that's you being real, authentic, then praise God, hallelujah, welcome, brother. But I want you to be real and authentic, loving one another as Christ has loved us, that we do that really well. Preaching and sharing the gospel message. So I think that fits in very much with this passage, that we will preach the message, we will example the message, and we'll live the message. We'll be searching God's word regularly to know him and to understand his will and his ways. To become a disciple, there'll be some stuff that, man, there's some rough edges that'll need to come off, because following Jesus is not an easy thing. My nephew, who's almost 40, yes, I was an uncle at an early age. My youngest brother was an uncle before he was born, so that's funny. Anyway, my nephew, who's about 40, has just recently become a Christian, and about 3 weeks ago I was talking to him on the phone, and he's gone through a divorce, and his kids, they live at his place most of the time, and then they go somewhere else, and to his wife's place, and ex-wife's place. And sometimes the communication between them is not real good, and it falls apart a bit. And he was just sharing with me, he's going, Uncle Donnie, I still can't get used to that. He goes, Uncle Donnie, you know, following Jesus is really hard and it's not easy. And he gives me a couple of examples. And I said, yes, mate. Now, following Jesus can be some of the hardest yards you'll ever do in life, because there's a lot of turning the other cheek. There's a lot of loving them even when they're unlovely. And he goes, that's exactly it. And he said, but you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. So here he is putting his hand up. Oh man, this is hard work, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep doing this. So making that work in and through his ways. Equipping and supporting leaders for local and global mission. I think that's an area of a church that we need to work a bit on. We haven't done that real well, but having said that, we have got two young ladies away at the moment being trained and equipped, and a number of you have encouraged those and financially supported those in a big way. We want to be impacting our community through evangelism, planting multiple congregations, and providing practical Christian care. Now, I know many times when people are doing it tough, food arrives at their doorstep without anyone organising it. Well, certainly without me organising it, so I'll put it that way. And so I love that practical care, that Christianity that works in and through stuff. And I want to encourage you that we keep doing that. And we keep our ears open that when people are doing it tough or there's stuff that's happened, the bad news has happened, that we look for ways that we can minister God's hands and feet in a real and living way. I want us to impact our community through evangelism. I want us to see the multiple congregations grow. And K2, which is on this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, is one of our multiple congregations that we're working at. Today, we've got a good number of folk at church. The last couple of weeks, we've been very full. We are putting out close to about 190 chairs at this moment in time. We've got about 10 left in there for us to put out, and there's about, well, it was about 8 at the back there. So the front row is really great seats. Lots of leg room, so please feel free to come and sit in the front row. If we want to continue to grow in this service, K1 on a Sunday morning, then we're going to look at creative ways of putting out the chairs so we can fit more folk in to join in with worship. But we also, as a church, have been with this vision, which has been with us for at least 14 years, wanting to look at developing other congregations, developing other places and times and spaces that we can meet together. Our home groups are a way of that in one form or another, and we want to encourage everyone to join in with home groups, to use your skills to be a part of that. The last one is that we would be giving sacrificially of our talents and resources for the ministry. And that is amazing that, you know, I've been telling the story of Kiwanis Life, and again and again and again, the story of Kiwanis Life is God's provision in incredible ways, again and again. Just yesterday I was telling how we moved into this building and how we had a special Sunday to raise and pledge $30,000 to move into this building. And we had $32,000 pledged and raised on that day, which just blew my socks away as a young associate pastor under Brian Willisdorf. And then when we were so excited about having done that, we went, oh, now we need a sound system. Oh, now we need chairs. Oh, now we need a fridge. Oh, so just paying the lease was one thing, but everything else and God's provision in that next 12 months was just incredible. So much so that 14 years later, we're still using the same sound system because it's such good and good quality that the folk in the early days bought that. The chairs, the comfortable chairs that you sit on. By the way, I will do 10 push-ups if I curse these chairs again. I went to a service out in Calbar on Tuesday and had to sit in a wood pew for 2 hours. And every time I sat down, I was right on the edge. And I don't know about you, but this wood pew had a round-looking thing that whacked my backside every time I tried to sit down because we were really tight. So I love these comfortable chairs that we get to sit in on a Sunday. So we as a church are wanting to look at walking through that and into what God has for us and keeping that vision before us. I believe that this series around this passage will be something that will be quite extraordinary. Let me just read to you that passage again as we launch into it for us as a church. This time reading it from a different version because it just rings a little bit different. And because we know it so well, just to hear it a little bit different might spark something in your heart. It says, I'm here speaking with you as the author, with all the authority of God, who has commanded me to give you this commission. That's pretty cool, hey? Jesus is standing there before them with all the authority of God. That's a big statement, isn't it? All the authority of God. And I give you this commission. This is not a little thing. This is something big and amazing. Just hold for a sec. Jesus is walking along the water and he's calling his disciples. Now, when he called his disciples, did he go up to them and say, hey, guys, I'd like you to come and follow me. Come and be my disciples. But don't get too carried away about it. All you need to do is stay fishing. Just every now and then when they do a census, just tick follower of Jesus. And every now and then if you want to put a sticker on a book that says he is the way or wear a T-shirt every now and then that says I love Jesus. You know, if you do that, that'll be really cool. And then we might change the world together. That's not what Jesus said to them. He said to them, come follow me. Come and follow me. Leave all this behind. Come and follow me. And so here he is, up on this mountain, with all the authority of God, who's commanded him to give him this commission. And he says, go out and make disciples in all the nations, ceremoniously washing them, baptizing them with baptism in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then disciple them. Form them in the practices and the postures that I have taught you and show them how to follow the commands that I laid down for you. And I will be with you day after day after day to the end of the age. Go out and make disciples. I think that's a challenge for all of us. And this series that we're launching into, I'm not going to concentrate so much on the go out part just yet. I want to concentrate on what does it mean to be a disciple. So if we are disciples, these guys have just hung out with Jesus for 3 years. They got to understand very well the Father heart of God. They got to understand that Jesus was the Savior because they saw him die on the cross and they're talking to a resurrected Jesus right here. I want us over this next 2 months to go through those important things, to make sure we've got our ducks in a row so that as disciples of Jesus, we know what we know, that we can go out and make other disciples who will follow Jesus and will be a part of the kingdom of God for eternity. Charles Finney, in the 13th of February 1939, was writing articles to the, I might get this wrong in the pronunciation of it, but the Oberlin Evangelist. It was a newspaper that went all throughout America in those days. Apparently, a lot of Christian newspapers were out there, and this was just one of them. But this guy, Charles Finney, who at this time in 1939, just to give you a brief history, it was at the end of the Great Revival, which was in America. It's called the Great Revival, I think, because it was in America, and everything in America is bigger and better than the other ones. So it was called the Great Revival. But thousands, in fact, hundreds of thousands of people came to know Jesus. And Charles Finney was one of the guys who was instrumental in that work. He, if you read some of his stuff and some of the things that have been written about him, absolute dynamo, absolute fanatic about converting folk to Jesus. I think if he had been around today and he had nothing to do, he'd try and convert a lamppost. He was that sort of guy that went out there and wanted people converted to Jesus Christ, and did it so well and was very successful. But at this stage of his life, at the end of 1938, he'd worked himself into a place that we would say today of burnout. Ever seen any Christian pastors do that sort of thing? So wrapped up in what they're doing and how important it is that they burn out in the ministry. Well, Charles Finney was at that point where he was no longer able to travel and go and do these things. And so he was starting a series of letters that he was having published in the Oberon Evangelist. And in it, he was writing things to the early converts of the Great Revival. And he was starting off to them by saying some pretty harsh things. Some of the things he was saying is like, okay, now if your conversion is correct, then you need to make sure you're following Jesus with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, and with your whole body. He was not mucking around with the words. And he wasn't worried about offending the odd in his wording. And I struggle with some of this stuff because the word religious is not a word I like. And I don't often look at people and go, oh, gee, they're religious. I've sort of walked away from that because I try to look at folk and see that, you know, we've all got good and bad and ugly stuff in all of our lives. And I know there's some stuff that I'm probably religious about and that I hold on to, faith stuff that maybe just baggage from my past, but in different forms of walking with Jesus, there is probably a little bit more religiosity than in some other forms. But he would say, look, the religious are killing the church. And he'd say, you've got to be passionate about Jesus. You've got to be hooking into what God has for you. And he would write this in this magazine, this newspaper that would go out to everyone that could buy it. And because of these letters that he wrote, and I've only got to chapter 3 in this book, and it's 2,000 pages long, so I'm guessing he wrote a lot of letters into the Oberon Evangelist encouraging the early disciples. So you may hear a couple of quotes from Charles Finney as I read through this book. But he was quite strong to the early converts to not muck around with the things of this world, to cut them off and to live for Jesus wholly and solely. And to be a disciple had its cost. And in fact, Jesus said that, didn't he? Pick up your cross daily and follow me. So at this point, as I wrap up our time together today, I want to leave you with a challenge. And so the challenge I have for you today is a simple one, but I think it could be powerful in each of our lives. I know this week has been tough for me to work through some stuff in the area of a spiritual being hit. Just before I give you the challenge, it's good when you get some confirmation, isn't it? That God speaks into your life and says, yep, you're on the right track. Even though you've had a bit of a tough time, you're on the right track. This morning in my devotional, when I was finishing off one of the little devotions I was doing, the Bible reading for today was Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. I think that's pretty cool. After you've had a little bit of a spiritual pounding in some areas, a bit of an attack, that there it is right in between you. Can I just encourage you that the way we can support and encourage each other through prayer together and Bible reading together and home groups is excellent. But if you can't do that, and I don't mean to embarrass Mark, but I want to thank Mark, because beginning of this year, Mark highlighted to me that the YouVersion Bible devotional now has a part in it where you can tag a mate and do a Bible study or devotional together. And the accountability part of that is great for me, because when I get up in the morning and I go, well, I better do my devotional because I know Mark's going to do it later today, and he'll always say something nice in a comment, and so I better make sure I read it and actually say something that's related to what I actually read, and I'm not just ticking a box saying, yes, I did my devotional. And so this month of January, Mark and I have done three or four little devotionals together, and it's been really good. And it's that little bit of accountability, and it's sharpened me in my walk with God and my discipleship. And I've enjoyed the towing and froing, because Mark, being Mark, doesn't always agree with me on everything that I say and lets me know. And there's a couple of things that I put up there and he challenged the way I'd seen it. And I went, oh yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Oh wow, how about that? I can learn something. Isn't it good to know that we can learn stuff from each other as disciples and followers of Jesus, that we can continue to do that? Yesterday afternoon I did a pastoral visit, and I learnt for the first time what a gammon was. Now, I've played the game of backgammon for a long time. I didn't know what a gammon was or a backgammon. I didn't know that you actually scored in backgammon. I just thought, hey, I beat my wife again. Woohoo! That was what it was. But apparently there's those things. So we can continue to learn about stuff, can't we? The challenge for you today, in the area of being a follower of Jesus Christ, well, in the area of being a disciple, how are you going? Stop for a moment, or all of this week, with a couple of times of reflection and go, okay, I have put up my hand and I said, I want to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. What does that mean for me? What does picking up the cross daily and following Jesus mean for me? How do I do that? How do I live that? And how do I be authentic following Jesus? Just a challenge for you this week. Do you want to share with me how you're going with that? Would love to. Maybe we can learn a bit more together as we follow Jesus together. Be disciples so that we can go and make disciples and impact this gorgeous Sunshine Coast like never before. Are you keen? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity of being your disciple. Thank you that in this passage you had all authority to speak into these guys' lives. And then you gave them this word. And Father, I believe that today, with all authority, you want to speak into our lives and say, that same word is for you today. I love the people that you do life with. And I want to see each and every one of them come to know me as their Lord and their Saviour, to be redeemed, transformed and set free in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, may we follow you more passionately today than we did yesterday. Open our eyes that we might see you, Jesus. In your name. Amen.